I'd like to open our Bibles almost halfway in the book of Isaiah, chapter 59, which is on page 898, if you've got the same translation I have. It's pretty much in the, right in the middle of the Bible. 898, Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, and we'll start reading from verse 1. Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he doth not hear. I want to very briefly talk to you tonight about really the beginning of verse 2 here, your iniquities. Sins, the things you've done wrong that have separated you between you and God. A great separation, a great divide has come in between you and God, as it says here, because of your iniquities, the things you've done wrong, the sins, if you like, in your life. And I want to take you all the way back, really, before we come to Isaiah, this whole story of how we as human beings find ourselves separated from God starts in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. And it's a story that probably most of you have heard many times at Sunday school, where God created a garden, a perfect garden, a garden that was full of fantastic things, wonderful things, a garden where everything was beautiful, everything was brilliant, there was, you know, animals. There was beautiful plants and trees. And you know, the most wonderful thing about that garden was that God walked in that garden with his two greatest creations, which were Adam and Eve, the two first human beings that were created and walked on this earth. And God walked with them. It says that God walked with them in the cool of the day. You know, they enjoyed a really close and special friendship with God. A really close and special relationship. And you know, God loved Adam and Eve. God looked after Adam and Eve in this wonderful, perfect garden that he had created. And you know, you can read about it in Genesis. The first couple of chapters of Genesis. God looks down at the earth he's created. He says, it's good. It's good. And it was good. It was a great place to be. And Adam and Eve, I don't know how long they were there for, but they had, you know, what an amazing time they must have had with that special, close relationship that they had with God. But then we come on to, really, the first example in the whole of Scripture of what we get here in Isaiah 59 and verse 2. Your iniquities have separated you and your God. You see, after a while, Adam and Eve decided that actually they didn't like God being in charge, and they wanted to do something of their own thinking. They wanted to do something themselves. You see, God had told them in that garden that they could eat everything they wanted to. They could do almost anything they wanted to. Except there was one little rule. And that was not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we've been reading Genesis in Worthing on our weeknight. And it doesn't appear from reading Genesis that it took them very long actually to decide that they would quite like to taste of this fruit that God had said that they shouldn't have. And you've probably heard this many, many times from Sunday school. Eve took the fruit, took a bite of it, and Adam took the fruit and took a bite of it. And from that moment on, something terrible happens to the human race. You see, God had told them not to do something, and Adam and Eve went and did it. And the Bible calls that disobedience. And ultimately, in a general term, the Bible calls that sin. The Bible calls that things that you do wrong, like what Adam and Eve did, is called sin. And because God is a holy God and a righteous God, God is a perfect God, the Bible says God can't look on sinfulness. God had to send them out of the garden. And Adam and Eve had to leave God's wonderful paradise that he created. And God sent them out of the garden, and he put an angel at the door, at the gate of the garden, so they could not come back in. And God said, because you've sinned, you can't come back in. And it was that there, that sin, that separated Adam and Eve from God. They had no place in the garden. Because of your sin, God said, you can't come in. And then people kept sinning. From that moment on, sin became very integral to the human race. Sin became attached to every single human being that lived from that moment on. You read a couple of more pages in Genesis, you get to have the Adam and Eve's sons, Cain and Abel. We started with disobedience, and the next thing that you know in the book of Genesis is that Cain has gone and murdered his brother. It moved really quickly from just disobeying God to then suddenly we have Cain murdering his brother. Sin quickly took hold. It started off as a simple act of disobedience, but look at the long-ranging effects that it had. People forgot about God. You read books, you read all the way through Genesis, read all the way through the Old Testament, and you get people sinning again and again and again. Sin had really grabbed hold of the human race. But you know, God had not stopped loving human beings. God had not stopped loving people. God had not stopped caring about people. Even though they were sinning and doing things that upset him, doing things that were wrong, God still loved people. And eventually, he chose a group of people called the children of Israel. And he told them to build him a house, a temple. And they built him a temple. And in the middle of that temple, God said that's where he was going to live, in a place called the Holy of Holies. And it was a really wonderful place. It was a place that was full of light. It was a place where God dwelt, in this temple that they built. And you can read about it. King Solomon built God a house so that he could dwell here on earth. And he dwelt in the Holy of Holies. But you know, on the door to the Holy of Holies, they had to hang a great big curtain. They had to hang a curtain there because there was still that distance between sinful creatures like us, human beings, and a perfect and a righteous God. That curtain was held on the gate, on the door to the Holy of Holies. And it was a constant reminder that because of our sin, because of your sin, we can't go in. There was a curtain, a divide that stood there that separated us from God. And the reason there was that separation, as it says here in Isaiah, the reason there was that separation was because of sin. Sin is the great divider between us and God. And that curtain stood there for hundreds and thousands of years as a constant reminder that there was a separation between people, us, and God, a holy and a righteous God. Now, where does that leave us tonight? Isaiah says that we're on one side, if you like, of a great divide, and God's on the other. And in the middle is this uncrossable gap, this uncrossable distance, because of what sin has brought in. God, as I said, a holy and a righteous God, can't have anything to do with sin. And we on this side as sinners. Now you might look at yourself and think that you're not very bad. You might look at yourself and you think that maybe you are quite bad. I don't know. But what's most important is what the Bible says about you. And God says in his word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means that every single person in this room tonight is a sinner. That means that every single person in this room tonight has done something wrong, thought something wrong, said something wrong, missed an opportunity to do something good and decided actually they weren't going to do that. All these things count as sin. All these things count as doing something wrong. And that has separated you from God. And it means that you can't enter in to his blessing. In the same way that Adam and Eve couldn't go back into that special relationship and friendship with God, In the same way that the children of Israel couldn't just wander into the Holy of Holies. We tonight, dear friend, and you tonight, as sinners standing before God, can't just enter in to God's blessing. So what's to be done? We're standing on this side, and there's a great valley in between, and God is here on the other side. What can we do? Well, can we work our way towards God? We spoke about this in the reading a little bit. Every single religion that is presented on this earth today, in some form or other, has at its center the idea that you can work your way back to a God. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that by no works of flesh can you be justified. That means nothing of your own volition, nothing that you do, can bring you any closer to God. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says, as I said earlier, that we've all sinned, that there's nothing we can do about it on our side. So what is to be done? Well, the good news of the gospel is that God has moved from his side. God has seen us in our, as one of our hymns says, in our helpless estate. That means in our helpless position, unable to move towards God, unable to do anything to earn salvation. God has seen the human race wandering around, lost, unsure of what to do, unable to move towards him in any way, shape or form. And what did God do? Well, he looked down and he loved. And it says in John, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, in order for that gap that sin had created to be removed, the price of sin had to be paid for. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And tonight, dear friend, if you walk out of this room tonight ignoring the message of the gospel, one day, dear friends, all the things that you've done wrong in your life are going to have to be paid for. But you know, the message of the gospel is if you come tonight in repentance and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, you find that all those sins that you've ever done and ever will do have already been paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful message of the gospel, is that God saw us in our helpless position, and he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth to die on our behalf, to pay the debt that we should have paid, to pay the price that we should have paid, but were unable to do so. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard about this story many, many times, came down here, lived a perfect life, lived a life that we could never live. Did everything absolutely perfectly. Can you imagine that? Can you picture that? Never doing anything wrong. Doing everything absolutely perfectly. That's what the Lord Jesus did. On a number of occasions, God spoke down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son." And he said, I found my delight in him. This is what I'm looking for. This is what I've been waiting for. And you know, the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ was perfect is because he was God's Son. It was God in human form, walking down on this earth, doing good, talking to people, healing people, doing amazing things that you can read about in the four Gospels. But you know, the reason that the Gospel is preached tonight is not just because it's not because of what Jesus did while he was walking around and talking and healing and doing miracles. The center point of the gospel is the great sacrifice that had to be made on that cross at Calvary. Because all the way through the gospels, Jesus was walking around the Nazareth and around Galilee, and he was leading up to the cross. Because the cross, dear friends, is why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. Because it was on that cross, and you've heard about this many times before, but it was on that cross where the great question of sin and sins was dealt with. God poured out everything that he had against sin itself on the head of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blood that was shed on that cross by his Son meant that we tonight, if you put your faith and trust in him, can be washed clean. Washed by the precious blood of the Lamb. That's what the Bible says. And it's that tremendous sacrifice that means that tonight, dear friend, you have the opportunity to have everything that you've ever done wrong and everything you ever will do wrong in the future completely wiped clean. Your debts can be paid and you can be free. We sung about that in our first hymn. The sinner who believes is free. Wouldn't you like to be free of that great burden that you carry around with yourself? Wouldn't you like to be free of the worries and cares that you have in life? Wouldn't you like to be free of the guilt that you carry with you every day? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, by that sacrifice, on that cross, is able to take that burden away and remove it forever. Because, you know, the interesting thing about the death of the Lord Jesus on that cross, I spoke earlier about there was a great curtain that hung in the Holy of Holies, just outside, that blocked the way. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, there was a very strange thing that happened to the curtain that was hanging in the temple in Jerusalem nearby. That temple, that curtain that had hung there for thousands and thousands of years and had stopped people from entering into God's presence. It was a really obvious divide between God and the people. A really strange thing happened to that curtain. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, you know, that curtain tore in two from the top to the bottom. What does that mean? That's a rather strange detail to put into the Bible, isn't it? Well, you know, what that meant was, it meant two things. First of all, it meant that God could come out tonight in blessing. He had a righteous basis. That means he was right. Because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, because of that precious shed blood, God now could righteously come out towards sinners and bless them. And on the other hand, it meant, dear friends, that by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him as your Saviour, you can now go in to God's presence. That curtain, that barrier, that great divide has been completely removed by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the wonderful message of the gospel, is that God tonight has a foundation, has a righteous basis whereby he can come out and bless you because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done on that cross. And you, by believing and trusting in the name of the Lord, can enter in to God's presence and enjoy everything that he wants to give you and has prepared for you. What a wonderful thread, if you like, that runs all the way through Scripture. You know, this event, this cross, where the Lord Jesus died on, that's like the centre point of time itself. God's plans of salvation from Genesis, you know, thousands and thousands of years before, everything kind of came together in that death of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross on Calvary. And because of that, dear friend, tonight you have the opportunity, you have the foundation to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and to have the peace and the assurance of knowing that your sins have been completely cleared away, gone forever. You know, one of the things the Lord Jesus Christ said on that cross, he said a few things, but probably the most important thing were those three words, "It is finished." That means that God could look on that sacrifice and by coming under the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, by sheltering under the blood, it means your sins will never be brought up again. It was done and done forever. That sacrifice will never need to be repeated. It was once and once for all eternity. And so that's sort of the centerpiece of the gospel, if you like. And that's the reason that if we go back to our verse here in Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 1, he says, "Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." God's hand is stretching out towards you tonight. Because of that sacrifice, because of the death of his Son, God is able to draw you in, to his blessing tonight if you will come in repentance and faith. That means saying sorry and having a change of heart for the things that you've done in your life. Come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your, what we call a personal Saviour. Somebody that cares deeply about you. Mm-hmm. Somebody that in fact cares so much about you that he was prepared to go to the cross so that you could come into blessing. That's pretty good, isn't it? If somebody goes so far as to actually die for you, they must love you, mustn't they? Mm-hmm. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He loved you so much that he was prepared to go to the cross so that you tonight, sitting in your seat here, can come into God's blessing. Mm-hmm. But you know the story, it didn't quite end there. Because that would have been a rather sad end to the story if we finished with the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But you know, the Bible carries the story on. Because after he died on that cross, he was taken down from the cross and he was put in a tomb. He was taken down by a couple of people from that he'd met before, and he was put in a tomb, and a great stone was rolled across the entrance. And nothing happened on day one. And nothing happened on day two. But you know, when he got to day three, the morning of day three, well, we all know what happened, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ rose from among the dead. He died and he lives again. You know, it would be no use me tonight preaching to you about somebody that was dead. What would be the point? But you know, Christianity is based around somebody that has died but is alive forevermore. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't stay in the grave. He's alive, he's risen, and do you know where he is now? He's seated up in heaven. He's seated up in heaven. He's ascended, and he's sitting at God's right hand. And you know, he's up there right now, and he's waiting for the moment where he's going to call all those people that love him back to himself. That's the great hope of a Christian, is that one day we will see our Saviour face to face. We'll see the man that gave himself for us. We'll see the nail scars in his hands. We'll see the shepherd, the friend, the guide that has taken us from the moment we were saved to the moment where we enter glory. That's a great hope of a believer. And dear friend, tonight you can come to know that man. You can come to know that Saviour. You can come to know him personally as your shepherd, your friend, and your guide by putting your faith and trust in him. And so, I just leave that with you. We've been separated from God, but God's provided a way back through the giving and sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have the opportunity tonight to come to know him personally as your Saviour, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.
I wonder if we could finish with hymn number 272.